Toldos, Tavshin Ayin Ches. The Haftorah starts out off with Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem Amartem Bamea Avtanu. I've loved you, says Hashem. And we ask, how is it that you've shown your love to us? Hello, as Esav. Hello, Ach Esav LeYaakov. Esav is a brother to Yaakov. Numa Shem. Bohev as Yaakov. Ves Esav Sadesi. Vasim es Harov Shmamo. Ves Nachlasov. Ves Anos Midbar. Yaakov I love. And Esav hated. And I have made his mountains desolate. And his inheritance to a place for the wild animals of the desert.
What pasuk is that?
That's in Malachi. That's from the Haftorah. So in the Parsha, we have two personalities, right? Yaakov and Esav. The Yaakov, we know, takes the bracha of Esav. It's interesting that Yitzhak thought he was being mevarech Esav. So the bracha that he gave to Yaakov really was intended for Esav. And yet, it must have some sort of unique flavor for Yaakov. We see afterwards that when Esav asked for a bracha, Yitzhak knows he can't give him another bracha. Mefarshim say, Rishonim say that he knew, they say that, I think, based on the Zohar, that he sensed that his bracha was already mekuyim, and so that he couldn't give that to anybody else. That same bracha. So he had to give something else. We'll see, what Esav asks for and what Yitzhak gives him. But there has to be some sort of unique flavor that Yaakov got out of the bracha. Even though his intention was to mevarech Esav. So let's take a look. What does it say? It says, V'yitzim l'chol Elokim mital ha-shamayim mishmonei ha-aretz rov dagon v'silosh. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you mital ha-shamayim from the dew ha-shamayim mishmonei ha-aretz, the fat of the land, rov dagon v'tirosh, and plenty of both grain and wine. Ya'avducha amim, nations will serve you. Yishtachavad l'chu umim, and even those who don't serve you will bow before you. Havegvir la'achecha, you will be the master over your brother. Yishtachavu l'cha b'nei imecha, and the children of your, what do you call it, of your mother will bow down before you. Ororecha arur, those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed. So Sforno says, Mital Shamaim, she asked me Klecha Tal Shamaim, Shakol Smechim Bo. The Sforno.
Have it on the sheet?
Yeah.
Right? The you'll be enough, it'll be sufficient for you to have the Tal Shamaim. She asked because of Tal Shamayim, Shakol Smechim Bo, because everybody rejoices in it. And the Tal doesn't prevent your going in and out because it's not like it's pouring torrential rain. Okay? The Rov Dagon Vesirosh. So Rashi says that, the Sforno says in this, what is the Rov Dagon Vesirosh? Shetucha Lefarnes Acherin. It is the responsibility of being blessed fiscally. Yeah, with wealth, is that you have the opportunity to give to others, right? That's the bracha. gashmi should be. If you have gashmi, it should be just an opportunity to be able to bestow upon others what he called gashmias.
That's the bracha to Yaakov.
So that's the lemaisa. So what Yaakov got, I mean, again, Yitzchak thought he was giving it to Esav. Thought he was giving it to Esav. Why do you think he was giving it to Esav? So the next Sforno says, Havigvir la'achecha, ki choshav she'iye tov li'Yaakov she'tasbik lo nachles Eretz Yisrael. The intention never was to give Esav Eretz Yisrael. That Yitzchak already understood. Eretz Yisrael was going to go to whom? Going to go to Yaakov. To Yaakov. Eretz Yisrael is going to go to Yaakov. V'shiyeh abad im eizeh shibud k'dei shlo yitrod nafsho ma'od v'nyoni gashmim v'hevle hanifsadim k'mo shekoro d'azaro achakach k'omru m'tav ani ez ga'on Yaakov v'shiyeh tov lo v'shiyeh m'shubad tachas ochiv k'omru m'zal. One second. So he says that his intention was that Yaakov should be slightly subservient to Esav, and Esav would take care of his fiscal needs. He'd be the, what he called, he'd be in charge of taking care of, you know, of what he would. Yaakov would not have to be preoccupied with that. He wouldn't have to deal with that. He wouldn't have to deal with that, because there's always is a fly in the ointment that once you become involved in physical things and temporal things and the more mundane things associated with money, that it has the ability to take your mind off of what you need to be really focused on. So Yitzchak assumed that the best thing for Yaakov was he shouldn't be involved in that. Esav will be involved in it. Esav will take care of it. Yaakov will live in Eretz Yisrael. Esav and Echem will live in Chutz Laaretz. And there, whatever Yaakov needs, it'll be Esav's doing, but also Yaakov will be subservient to Esav to a degree. Being subservient is not like the end of the world, only if it bends you out of shape. Like we saw from the Chiddushi Arim, that he said on that which Chazal say, a person is makabel upon himself, all Torah, ma'avir menu all, yeah, malchus and all derech eretz. The person accepts upon himself all Torah, so Hashem takes away from him the old Torah, what he called, the old malchus and the old derech eretz. He removes from him the yoke of having to deal with, you know, the political bodies that they are, you know, with all of their capricious behavior and their levy taxes and, you know, all these things, etc., etc., and the old derech eretz, the concern for parnasa. So the Chiddush HaRim says, didn't say he's going to remove for you the need, the what he called malchus. Didn't say he's going to remove for you derech eretz, just the yoke. It won't preoccupy your mind. Now, that's when a person is makabel old Torah, so these other things are irrelevant to him. So it's, even though they exist, but they don't bother him, they don't disturb him, they don't bend him out of shape, they don't ruin his equilibrium.
But that's something you've got, because that's capable for everybody.
Meaning what?
Everybody has the ability to move themselves.
That's true, so you have to be makabel upon yourself old Torah. When you're makabel upon yourself old Torah, then you have the ability to do it. When we're not makabel upon ourselves old Torah, so we know that, you know, some of our best business thoughts are in Shimon Esrei. Right? Or, you know, exactly how we're going to take care of the rest of my day. It's all planned out in Shimon Esrei. Right? Which is sad. But okay. So in any event, so he was going to give this, what he wanted to give this to, to Esav, and because Yaakov, etc., right? Yaakov is not interested in it. And Yitzchak is not interested that Yaakov should be interested. He wants him to focus on Ruchnius. It's an interesting thing that Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak, we know he is the symbol of success in Gashmias. It says in our parsha that he was Zorea, he planted, and he received back 100-fold. That's because Yitzchak's whole being is everything that's mine really is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Din. That was when he was coming to teach the world. So therefore he had to focus. He was blessed incredibly. He was involved with lots of Gashmias. Right? He's involved with lots of gashmias. He got back 100-fold when he sowed. He had herds of mules, right? And everybody said, if you want to invest in the fecal matter of the mules of Yitzchak. Even though mules don't reproduce. In other words, their essence is they don't give bracha. And yet everybody said it's better to invest in the fecal matter of the mules of Yitzchak than to invest in the gold of Avimelech. Because Yitzchak is a fountainhead of bracha, of increase, of riboy, of success, all these things. Again, Yitzchak was coming to prove the point, right, that everything you receive is really the Bo'er Shalom's. And therefore, everything you receive, you will only receive that which you know what to do with it, in a positive sense. But he knew that for Yaakov, this wasn't the game plan. Yaakov was now going to come, and he was going to show, in other words, not this broad-stroked idea that everything you have is the Ribono Shalom, is the sense of Midas Adin, that it's all his. Is Yaakov was going to come and now introduce into the world the ability, through MS, to be able to pinpoint exactly where you can find Hashem's presence in every Dabar Gashmi. There's a difference. In Yitzchak, there's an attitude he's coming to communicate. He's communicating that whatever Gashmias you have, it's the Ribono Shel'Olam. It's all from him, it's all from him, it's all from him. And that's the focus. It's all from him. It's not ours. It's his. It's all from him. And therefore he's zochet incredible bracha. But he knows for Yaakov, the idea is to point out in the world of Gashmias, right, in the world at large, in everything in the world, where you can find Hashem's presence in everything. Not just, it's all His, but recall what you need to do with it, right? What exactly you need to do with it, what you need to do with this object, you need to do this experience, that's Torah. Torah, it reveals Hashem's presence in every object, in every event that we come into contact with. So you figure, what do you need the Gashmias for? You don't need the Gashmias, but that's for Esav. So anyway, we know that Yaakov, though, God gets the bracha because his mother understood that Esav was not interested in taking care of Yaakov, right? And therefore, if Yaakov is not going to be in charge of this aspect of the world, then he's not going to be able to have any, he's not going to walk in this world. So the brachas go to Yaakov. Then Esav shows up, and of course he wants the brachas. And Yitzchak tells him, he said, what can I give you? Everything that you got, everything that you'll get, right? Everything you'll get is going to belong to your brother. Rashi says in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. It says Vayomer. No, sorry, that, no. No, it's in the pasuk. Yeah, he says Vayan Yitzchak Vayomer LeEsav, right? Right, he said the end of the previous pasuk in Lamed Vav, Esav says to Yaakov, "Hello, atzalta li bracha. You left me something. No, didn't you leave me something? Some sort of bracha, right? Did leave over some bracha for me?" Vayan Yitzchak vayomer leEsav, "Hey, gvir samtiv lach. I made him your superior. Ve'eskol echov nasati lo lavadim, and all of his brothers I've made as servants to him." V'dagon v'tirosh t'machtiv, and I've made him, I've strengthened him, with success in both, what do you call, both in his grain and his wine. U'chayf ma'asebni, and therefore, what can I possibly do for you? V'ayom reisav el aviv, ha'bracha achas hi l'cha avi. You only have one bracha? V'cheni gamani avi, bless me also. V'yisa yisav kolo v'yev. So the Gurari asked the question, what did I understand? Esav, what is he saying? His father just explained to him that it doesn't help for you to get a bracha. Because any bracha that you get automatically belongs to Yaakov. Because I've made you a servant of his. Right? That's the way it works out. So it's tough noogies. So what in the world is he asking for? You've only got one bracha? I already just explained to you. If anything I give you goes to him anyway. So says the Gurari, right? Yichashav shiyatov. I'm sorry. Key, what do you call it? The Gurai says, "V'im Tomar im kein ma heishiv lo Esav a bracha achas l'chav avi." What is Esav saying? You only got one bracha. His father explained to him already. It's not a heavenly one, one bracha. What does it help? Whatever you get, it belongs to him. He didn't say, I don't have more brachas to give, but the other thing is, what will be the benefit? Are all the brachas of one type? In other words, I understand that if you give me a bracha of something which is the same nature of which Yaakov received, so if I receive it, it automatically belongs to him anyway, since he's my master. But don't you have something that you could give to me which has no relevance to Yaakov? It's not within the purview of his bracha. Don't you have something like that? This is an amazing thing here. What does he say? Can't you give me a bracha in something which is not related to Yaakov? It should be the opposite of the bracha of Yaakov. Then he won't be able to take it from me because it's not shaykh to him. It's not relevant to him. Now what did Yitzchak say to him? Yitzchak said to him, right, in Pasuk Lamed Tes, Vayan Yitzchak aviv vayomer elav, hinei mishmanei ha'aretz yeh moshavecho, mital shamay me'al. From the fat of the land will be your dwelling place, mital shamay me'al, you will receive the tal. Valcha v'cho tichye, you will live by your sword, v'esachicha ta'avod, and your brother you will serve, v'hoya kasher tarid. Ah, but when his brother goes down, a farakta ulo, you will throw off his yoke. Me'al tzavarecha. So Yitzchak gives Esav a different type of bracha. Different type of bracha. What does he say? He says to him, Ki l'Yisrael v'tiye eretz hakadosha v'lo yutzu, what do you call, v'lo yutzu v'adoma tzmeya. You will live by the sword. Right? And that's the opposite of Yaakov. Yaakov his mita is shalom, bringing things together, and emes, right? Truth, which continues from the beginning to the middle to the end. Aleph, mem, tof. The Elu Brachos lo yikach, shlo shayach liyakov zeh. So it's an interesting thing. What does that mean that Yitzchak gave a bracha to Esav that you'll live? Okay, chutzlart that we understand, mishmani aretz, because Yaakov had no interest in that. But achav chaticha, you'll live by the sword? How could Yitzchak give him such a bracha? So kanireh, he understood that if it wasn't destined, and the Shemaim came out that way, that Esav's relationship with Yaakov was going to be one where Esav was going to give Yaakov, support Yaakov, supply him with his physical needs, then it must be that Esav is there, as it were, to correct, right, to punish Yaakov when he goes off the path. And that's the idea that he adds into the bracha over here, that kisaridu paraktu lo. When Yaakov goes down, you'll throw off his yoke. Because that's the way the world is going to be designed now. The initial design of the world that Yitzchak thought was going to take place was more of a Yisachar Zvulun type of relationship, of where Zvulun, Esav would be like Zvulun, supplying Yaakov would be like Yisachar. But when Min HaShemayim sees it's not coming out like that, and that's not what Hashem wanted, it's clear that Esav needs to fulfill a different role. What's his role going to be? His role is going to be the stick that's going to beat what he called. It's going to beat Yaakov if Yaakov, what he called, descends from his lofty, right, his lofty heights. Alchar b'chatichya, right? By your sword you shall live. By your sword you shall live. In other words, you will be there to implement din in the world. Yitzchak was Midas Adin, right? Yitzchak's Midas Adin was his din with himself. Ezo Gibor Kovish Yitzro. His son is now going to be Midas Adin. His son is going to direct it outward. I assume he was hoping it was going to be what he called a positive way. But Lamaisa, we know it wasn't positive. So let's see. The Gemara in Baba Basra. At the beginning of the Parsha, we know that Esav came in from the Sada, came in from the field. He was ayef, he was exhausted. And he wanted food, and Yaakov gave him food. Haliteni nom and adom adom azeh. And the Gemara says that Esav was ayef, he was weak, because he had committed 5 averas on that day. Says the Gemara Baba Basra. Amr b'yochran, chamesh averas over oso rasha b'oso ayom. On that day, he was over in 5 averas. Baal na'am urasa, he defiled a betrothed woman. V'haragis ha-nefesh, and he killed a man, right? Killed, the medrash says he killed Nimrod, right? The kaf of the ikar, he denied that his source was with the Creator. The kaf of betchias ha-mesim, and he was kofar betchias ha-mesim, right? He was kofar in recall that there's something called tchias ha-mesim. V'shat es ha-bechora, and he, as it were, demeaned, right, degraded the concept of the Bechorah. And then the Gemara brings Psukim. Mine brings Psukim. The
We saw the bracha to Yaakov on the same day. He did all the
right. He did all the averus. He sold his Bechorah to him. Sold his Bechorah to him. The Maral says that the order of things, right, was that first he was Hargis HaNefesh. The first thing he did was he killed someone else. Right? He killed someone else. And the next thing he did was he was Baal Nar Murasa. He defiled a betrothed woman. He was Kofar Betchias HaMesim. In other words, all the bonds. In other words, Esav is a person who's Al-Char B'Chatichi. He lives by the sword. His sword, right? And again, once again, Yitzchak, I think, understanding of Esav is that he had the capacity to use his sword, but he thought he would use it in order, what he called, to implement, you know, justice, to people doing the wrong thing, what he called, set them straight, what he calls Yaakov goes off the path, he'll be there to punish him, etc. But that Esav's whole raison d'etre was living by the sword. He severed his entire internal existence from his external existence. That was Esav's way. Yitzchak couldn't possibly have known that, because he never would have given her a bracha. He just knew, you know, it's sort of like when Shmuel first saw David, he also didn't want to anoint him, because he saw his admoni, right? And the Kosh Baruch Hu answers, no, in Yafei Naim. He will listen to the Enia Eda, listen to the eyes of the people, listen to the Sanhedrin, that will direct him. So Yitzchak Lechora had a vision of Esav being the same sort of person. He has the capacity to shed blood, but it will be according to what he called, to what's necessary for the times. Little did he know that Esav had no intention of complying with any of the dinim of the Torah, with any of the framework of the Torah, in order to implement this justice, this strength, this ability of his, yeah, to use violence. Right? Where necessary. His intention was, he's going to sever every part of himself from the upper world. So the first thing he does is he kills another person. The next thing he does is he defiles a betrothed woman, breaks that bond between her and her husband that hasn't even been consummated yet. The next thing he did is he was kofar betchias ha-mesim. Kofar betchias ha-mesim means he doesn't believe that this life over here, right, leads to the next life. He might have believed in Miracle on 34th Street, right? That he might have believed in that. Yeah, that, you know, afterwards, you know, you have to shuffle up the mortal coil. So there you are, you know, with your wings, when you go flapping around, etc., etc. It's very nice, it's cool, right? But he didn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, that where Tchias HaMesim comes from the way that you live in this world, that becomes your new life. It sheds some of the externals that hide your connection to Hashem. He severed it. He's kofar b'tchias ha-mesim. He's kofar b'ikar, right? And he's shot as a bechora, and he's kofar b'ikar. He was shot as a bechora. He's mezalzel, right? He demeaned the very idea that a person should be in this world, that a person's greatness is determined by the level of his service to Hashem. That's what the Bechor is. He's number one, primogeniture. He's the first one. He's big cheese. He's Choshev. And what makes him Choshev? He's Oved Hashem. He's Oved Hashem. He denies that, and finally he's Kofar V'Iker. Kofar V'Iker means he was an atheist. Right? He wasn't an idiot. Right? You see some poly angels walking around in his father's house, in his grandfather's house. He wasn't an imbecile. Right? But he was a kofar b'ikar. He was a kofar b'ikar. In other words, my being, right? Doesn't have to find expression as it relates to the source called the Creator. The Creator, as it were, made me as a frisbee. I'm gone, right? He shot me off. I'm flying. That's my job. But now that I'm always attached to Him, I'm not like a tree where the ikar, which is the roots, is always the source of nourishment for what he called for the branches, etc. I'm detached. I'm detached. So on that day, he was over on five Averas, and like the Gemara says in Brachos, right, the citation just above that, we say in Baruch Nafshi, five times, Baruch Nafshi. And those five times are in parallel to the five levels of a person's soul system. His nefesh, his ruach, his neshama, his chaya, his yechida. Right? Five levels to a person's soul system. And Esav was over five averes on that day because he wanted to sever his soul system entirely from what he called from its source. God made man, as far as he's concerned, to be a conqueror, to be the Marlboro man. Right? That's what he's meant to be. He's meant to be riding his white stallion, right? Into the Texas panhandle with his lasso, with running after the doggies, etc., 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 and puffing away, right, on his Marlboro. But he's not put in this world to be an Ovid Hashem. He's put in this world to be a conqueror. And every once in a while, God will show him who the big cheese is. He'll bring an earthquake, he'll bring a tsunami, he'll bring a hurricane, whatever it is, to show that God is tougher than him, etc., etc. He'll accept that, and then he'll go on. But his life has got nothing to do with the Creator. So that we call that's Esav. This is true not only in terms of, it finds this attitude finds manifestation. Right? In many areas. One of them is, for instance, at the bottom of page one, it says, Dibor. What was Dibor used for? Dibor. Now, we know that Dibor, speech, right, also is related to the idea of Dabar, right, or one who leads, not Babar, Dabar. One who leads is called a Dabar. Because one leads with one's speech. Right? Bechlal, the idea we talked about before, that all the things in Lashon HaKodesh are called Devarim. Because we recognize that they exist as a function of Hashem's Dibur. Ki b'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Hashem made things with his Dibur. All things exist as a function of Hashem's Dibur. Ki b'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Bruach Viv Kol Tzvam. And that's the essence of man. That he's also a medaber, like it says in Bereishis, "Vayitzir Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min ha'adama, vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim." On the bottom of page one, "Vayadam nefesh chayav." Hashem breathed life into man's nostrils. Man became a living being, and the Targum says upon that that man became leruach memalala, a speaking spirit. So the korach of speech, is the essence of what a person is. That's what he makes a person. When man became a living being, the litmus test of his being a living being, he became a speaking spirit. The ruach memalala. He was able to speak. He was able to transform that which was internal to him and bring it out into the world and give it meaning, etc. We know that the person was created for Dibor, is created like for Yaakov. Yaakov's Dibor is Divrei Torah, right? That's what the Zohar says, that when man was turned into a speaking spirit, his speech was meant to be speech of bracha, speech of tefillah, speech of Torah, speech of kind words that heal people's wounds, etc. Words of wisdom. But Esav, what does it say by Esav? Esav is Yodea Ish Yodea Tzayid. Right? Pasuk says about Esav, Vehi Esav Ish Yodea Tzayid. Ish Sadeh, the Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Olim, says Rashi. Tzayid, he's a hunter. But over here, what does Rashi say? Yodea Tzayid, he knows how to hunt. Why don't you say he's a Tzayid? He's a hunter. That's a Tzayad. Why are you saying he's Yodea Tzayid, he knows how to hunt? I mean, what are we talking about? Just say he's a Tzayad. Says Rashi, Yodea Tzayid Latsud, he knows how to trap, entrap, ensnare people. Latsud l'ramos es aviv b'fiv. He knows how to use his koach hadibur, Once again, once a person is living on Achabacha Tichya, in other words, he looks the same as Yaakov. He can look exactly the same as Yaakov, but his insides are cut off from his source. He was Kopra Be'ikar. He doesn't believe that the existence of man is there to be a tree which is driving nourishment from its attachment to the Creator. So therefore, he is Yodei Atzayat. He's not just a Tzayat. He's not just a hunter. He's Yodei. He knows how to trap people. Masud Ramos is of the thief. He knows how to trap his father, right, with his tongue. How so? Yisholo Abba Heich Ma'asim Nesamelach Vesatevin. When he would say, right, when he would say to his father, how does one miser salt? How does one miser, right, a straw? He's not trying to prove to his father that he's ignorant, he doesn't know anything, right? Because we know you don't have to miser salt, you don't have to miser straw. But these are the things, both salt and straw. Salt and straw are the things that, albeit they are not fruits of this world, but they are the subordinate things of this world that make fruits better. The straw is there. After all, it's part of the growth of the wheat. It enables the wheat to grow. It's there as an enabler. The salt also, you don't eat salt. But the salt you put on your food, it's an enabler. It enables, recall, the main flavor of the proof it happens to me to come out. So he was trying to show his father. He was entrapping his father because he knew how to use his koach hadibur not as a function of his being connected to Hashem, but as another way in which he severs himself from, recall, from the Creator. He uses the koach hadibur that he has to try and point out to his father, you see, I recognize my role. I'm an enabler. I'm like straw. I'm an enabler. I'm like salt. How does one add kedusha? How does one meister the salt? How does one meister the straw? I want to know the way to be able to implement and to inject into my life as the enabler, to fill it with kedusha. This is part of his fraud. This is part of his fraud. His fraud is not only internal. His fraud is also, right, external. We know that Yaakov received the begadim. Received the begotten of Esav to pull off the roofs on his father, right, to be able to get the brachos. So Rabbeinu Bakhi says Valderach Medrash Vayal Bishem Bigdei Kahuna Gdola Hil Bisham Ksiv Hacha Vayal Bishem Ksiv Hasam Vayal Bishem Kosnos Vayadua Ki Bigdei Kahuna Gdola Hayu Shmona V'chein V'kosav Shel V'yas Hashem L'kim L'odam L'ishto Kosnos Or V'yab Yishim Shmona Tevosein V'avein Ze. The, we call it the begotten, the clothing that Esav had, which Chazal say, Rabbi Bakhi brings down, right? He stole them from what he called, Adam Arishon originally had this clothing, and he gave it over to Cain, and when Cain was killed, right? He was killed, so then Nimrod got them, and then in turn, Esav, when he killed Nimrod, he took those begotten. Those begotten were meant to be big day kahuna. The big day kahuna were eight in number. Kahuna gdola. In other words, the transformation, the external, right, clothing, the externals of a person have the capacity, right, these begotten. Because what was the big day kahuna about? The big day kahuna were about, yeah, each one was coming to him and attacking a different mida in a person. Coming to rectify a different mida, like let's say the mitznefes, the hat. It was meant to correct the person had gaiva. He had gaiva. Right. If he wore the tzitz, it was meant to conduct his to correct any conduct of brazenness. When he wore the meal, right, so to correct his dibur, etc., 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 all the different begotten, each one is coming to correct a person's midos that might have somehow become distorted.
When Yaakov killed Esav, when Esav killed Nimrod, no. he took the begotten.
Right.
So that same day, Rivka took it from him and gave it to Yaakov?
Kanareh. If you could put the two of the medrashim together, it's a good point you're making, but if you put the two medrashim together, that the person that he killed on that day was Nimrod. Yeah. Right. So you see the record. You see here is record. Here is Adam Arishon. He received his begotten because Adam Arishon was created. Man was created l'avda, put in Gan Eden l'avda l'shamra, to serve Hashem. So you receive the big day kahuna, right? Even though what he called, I mean, certainly after he left Gan Eden, what he called, he received the big day kahuna. This is what's going to carry you through the world. You'll always have these begotten. Your external life will be one with, filled with remazim, filled with hints to you that you need to be attacking your midos. You need to uplift yourself. You'd speak differently. You need to think differently. You need to behave differently, etc., etc. Esav takes them, and he takes them for what they are, the gedula, in order to be able to manipulate. Because Esav wore them, and all the animals gathered around him. He had dominion with it. The greatness of these begotten could either be used to internally correct the person or to direct them externally, yeah, to give him power over others. Esav, since he severed himself from his internal world, his begotten were no longer serving the purpose of uplifting him, because he had no purpose, he had no need for being uplifted. It just gave him the ability to have power.
What did Yaakov do?
Oh, so Yaakov wore it in order to so he should look like Esav.
And what happened to it after that?
Don't know. I mean, if you think about it, it's what he called Western culture. I mean, Christian culture, Catholic culture, yeah, is all about, they pretend to be us, and their vestments are meant to imitate or to mimic the Big Day Kahuna. They've got their hat, they've got their fancy vestments, etc., right? They got their whole tall, you know, tall hats where they look like, you know, looks like a mikvah, looks like something out of the clay of Mishkan. In other words, what they've done is they've taken all the externals, and there's no internal world there. It's all just the externals. It's all just the externals. So Esav, both on the level of Dibur, right? Man was created to be a speaker, but it's what to do with his speech. To speak divrei Torah, to speak divrei bracha, to speak words of kindness. Instead, Esav uses his dibur to what? To entrap others. Esav received, there's such a thing as called big dikun in the world, which once again, these are externals, these are a part of the world of the enabler, right? You have to be mechubad, etc. But what is it meant for? Are your clothing there meant to remind you of who you are and to uplift you? Or are your clothing there to be able to manipulate others? That's Esav. And finally, the ultimate contrast between them is in our Parsha, right? In our Parsha, what appears is Yaakov tells an untruth. Even though Chazal say, what do you call it? How did he say it? He says, Ani, right, comma, Esav Bechorecha, right? I am I, and Esav is your Bechor. But nonetheless, when you say something in a way that someone else misunderstands you, it's not exactly the sort of thing like that a parent would be excited about, right, if the child did that to them. Yet, we know that Yaakov's usage of this is only because he heard from his mother, who said she knew from Benevuah, that this is what he had to do. And therefore he did what he had to do, even though it wasn't necessarily pure truth, but he knew what he called, he knew that this was what was necessary.
He knew to trust his mother.
Right. He knew this is what was necessary to be done. It was the right thing to do. It's the ultimate truth, even though at the moment it doesn't appear to be the complete truth. So the Navi, again, in this week's Haftorah,
we can say the same thing.
Right? It says, right, it says in the Navi, in this week's Haftorah, it says, Torah's MS Haisim Afil, the whole Haftorah talks about the Kohanim. Because when you think about it, right, the Kohanim, that's the difference between the Esav and Yaakov. Esav and Yaakov, they're now, who's going to be given greatness? So if Esav had received it, Esav would have abused it and manipulated it. Yaakov receives it, right? And Yaakov is meant to use it for Kedusha. In the Haftorah, there's an indictment of the Kohanim, because they're looking at things superficially. Right? They're looking at things superficially.
What's the story?
Then in the Haftorah, it talks about the idea of the Kohanim complaining, oh, I only get a little bit of food to eat. Hey man, that's not the point of you eating the Korban, right? To get yourself a rib steak. The point is, Kohanim ochlim, the kedusha ubalim miskaprim. Your achila is meant to be an uplifted achila. But when the Kohanim are talking about, you know, how much am I get? I'll exchange with you, so I'll get a pancake, and you'll get more meat. You'll have more pancake, etc. This is clearly a distortion of what greatness is made for. It's a distortion of what the kohen was made for. It's a distortion for what this lofty position is about. Just like Esav and Yaakov. That's why this is the Haftorah. Malachi is indicting the Kohanim of his time and saying, you are the Jews, but you're thinking, you're approaching things like Esav. Right? You're looking at externals and not at internals. You're looking at how much food I can get rather than what uplifting act can be done with this food, etc., etc. And also, in the Haftorah, it says about the coin, it says, Torah's emes haisa b'fihu. Right? The Torah of truth was upon his lips, his mouth. There's no falsehood was found upon his lips. B'sholom of Misha Allah iti. He walked in peace and in straightness with me. V'rabim heishiv v'avon. And he turned back many people from avon. Kisif say koin yishmeru das. For the lips of the coin will guard, what he called, will guard wisdom. The Torah yavak shumi piu. And you can always receive Torah from his mouth. Ki malach Hashem tzvokosu. For he is likened to an angel of Hashem. So it says the Avos Rav Nosson on this pasuk over here. What does it mean? Yeah, Torah's emes haisa b'fiu, right? Va'avul lo nimsa b'svasav. There was no falsehood found in his lips. B'sholom amisho halachiti. He walked with me in peace and in straightness. V'rabim heishiv mi'avon. And many he turned back from sin. So the Avos Rav Nosson brings down that this was the way that Aaron HaKohen used to conduct himself. He saw two Jews fighting. Right? He saw two Jews fighting. And he knew that wasn't good. Right? That's not what Hashem wants. There should be, right, division between two Jews. So after they part company, he goes to Reuven and he says to him, Reuven, you gotta know this. Shimon is so contrite. He feels so terrible what he said to you. It's all I could do to stop him from putting a bullet in the chamber. Right? He's just beside himself. Beside himself. And Reuven says, really? He says, yes. Yes, Shimon is totally, totally contrite. Yeah. Comes to Shimon afterwards, he says, Shimon, I gotta tell you something. I just found Reuven hanging by his fingertips from the George Washington Bridge. Right? Right? I recall, it was all I could do to pull him up. He is miserable over what he said to you. He's totally, right, totally, totally, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Shimon says, really? Next time they're in the street, Reuven Shimon, oh, Reuven, Shimon, oh, it's my fault, oh, it's my fault, oh, who cares, what difference does it make, we're so sorry, etc. It was a lie, but it was the truth. It was a lie, but it brought around the MS. The MS is that everything is really caught, yeah, like it says, B'sholom amisho halachiti v'rabim heishim avon. Aaron HaKohen, right, mitzvah l'shanos v'pnei ha-sholom. Truth is, and this is not the sort of thing that a person can use casually, right? You know, I'll lie all the time, etc., because I think it's a good idea. The usage of one's dibur, right, to create peace, that's an expression of emes, even though it may not fit the English definition of what we call truth. But it's bringing about emes, it's bringing about shalom, then that's what it's meant to do. That's what it's meant to do. And that's Yaakov. That's Yaakov. That's the difference between Yaakov and Esau. Yaakov is an internal person, right? He's an ish tam, Yoshev Olim. Esav is an ish sada. He's out there, he's manipulating. He is really caught. He is an ish sayed. He knows how to entrap, hunt people, not just animals. He knows how to entrap really caught people, right? And it's a function of the two types of people they were. Yaakov always saw himself as being, an extension of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what Yitzhak wanted all along for him, was to now enter into the world with his Torah, and to be able to add the labels of Torah to every object and experience. Esav, he had no thought that Esav was going to be like Yaakov, but he thought Esav could be a provider. He would involve himself in the role of the enabler, the physical enabler of this world on a level of Kedusha. But really, Esav had no interest in that. Esav was interested in severing himself. He believed in the Creator, but he believed that the Creator meant us to be separate. To be warriors, to be supermen, right? And every once in a while he will reveal to us how great or how he's above us. But other than that, we have no role over here as an extension of him. He was Kofra Be'ikar. Kofra Be'ikar, again, in this understanding doesn't mean he denied that there was a creator. Like I said, he's too many generations close to Yitzchak, to Avram, right, to all those, you know, who were before, to believe that the world just came around, you know, snap, crackle, pop. He knew there was a creator, but he wanted to believe that the creator had set us loose, and that's our job description. Those are the two worlds of Yaakov and Esav. And that's where we parted company, and that's the way it goes to the end of days. Okay. If I wasn't as clear as usual, but or at least try to be.
That's the understanding?
It actually is. Let's see one brief Sfas Emes. It says, V'yitin l'choy Elokim. Right? Pasuk. The bracha to Yaakov. V'yitin l'choy Elokim. V'tal ha-shmai v'shmanei ha-aretz. So Rashi says, Perish Rashi, Yitain v'yachzor v'yitain. Give, and then give again. So I have a friend, he always used to quote this like it's a joke, right? You should be zochet to the bracha. They should give, and they should give again. What does it mean, give and give again? Right? What does it mean, to give and give again? Give! So it says it's Sfas Emes. Ki l'chora ein hefresh kol kach bein birchas Yaakov le'esav. There's not such a difference between Yaakov's bracha and Esav's bracha. It doesn't look that different. Yeah? Shagam king siv mishmoni ha'aretz mital. Right? Yaakov says, Mital Shemaim, Mishmoni Aretz, Riko Asis, Mishmoni Aretz, Mital. We do the words all the same. The Isa, in the Zohar. Yeah? The Isa. Ki Hefresh Ben Yitain, right? Leiye. By Asif it says, Riko, you will have, Mishmoni Aretz, right? If you look at the Brach of Asa, the Brach of Asa it says, he says, Mishmoni haaretz yieh moshavecha. From the fat of the land you will be your dwelling place. By Yaakov, it says, V'yiten lecha. And Hashem will give you. Here it is, you will have, and here it says, and Hashem will give you. This is what he calls, says the Sfas Emes, yeah? He says, the Zohar says, the difference is those two words. Is it yours because of Yitin? Because God gives it to you? Or is it yours because you have it now? Yielecha. Says the Sfas Emes, Ki hafresh ben Yitin liyia ayin shem bezor ha-kodosh. Va-perush ha-poshut. The perush poshut is, Ki bevadai ma-shabirach Yitzchak Yaakov binyani olam hazeh. The bracha that Yaakov gave, right? That Yitzchak gave to Yaakov, binyani olam hazeh, hu achar ha-shleimus. Right? In other words, It's always a new giving. First of all, it's always a new giving. That means you're always receiving from Hashem. Not that you have it. The goal is not that you have it. The goal is that He's always giving. And that giving is always after you've achieved.
Who's giving? Hashem's giving?
Hashem is giving. In other words, what do you call it? In other words, what's the difference between Yaakov and Esav? Esav, Mishmanas, Yeh Moshavecha. That will be your place. In other words, that's talking about what will your status be? Your state. You will live in the fat of the land. By Yaakov it says, Hashem will give you. So the first thing is, the difference is that Yaakov is always being given. That means he's always realizing he's receiving from his source. Right? In other words, the act of giving is part of the bracha to Yaakov. The act that you'll perceive that it's always an act of giving is part of the bracha to Yaakov. In Esav, you'll have. That's the state. Not the act, right? Yaakov is blessed with being aware of the act that's coming from Hashem, giving it to him. And Esav just has the state of having it. But Sfas Emes says more, and this is Sfas Emes. The other, what I said now is also Sfas Emes. He says, but Yaakov, when Yaakov receives, when does he receive? He only receives when he's reached a degree of shlemus, right? In other words, once he's reached a certain spiritual level, so then Hashem gives him more. Thou, with that new benefit he's received, he has to reach a new madrega of shleimus, and then Hashem will give him again. But it's not unbridled, it's not unlimited. Ki ein Yaakov mevakesh olam hazeh kodesh mesakin atzmo koroi b'avodas Hashem Yisvorach. Yaakov only wants the olam hazeh after he has reached a level in Ruchnius where he'll know what to do with the olam hazeh.
That's
shleimus. And when he's reached that shleimus in Ruchnius, so that's why it's Yitain. This would be called, this is what I said before, the idea that Hashem is giving Yitain as opposed to just having. That's one state, that's one idea, right? Yaakov always perceives he's receiving. But now the Sfas Emes is talking about a different idea over here. Why is it Yitain v'yachzor v'yitain? Why do we have to talk about giving and giving again, and giving again? Yitain, once we know that it's giving, so Hashem, he knows where it's getting from. But it's more than that, says the Sfas Emes. It has to be Yitain, stop. Rise. V'yachzor v'yitain. Now you give again. These are different attitudes about Olam Hazeh. Yaakov wants, what's important to Yaakov is that he knows that he's receiving. That's the Yitin alone. But Esav doesn't say Yitin, it's just Yiyah. You'll have. Not, you won't sense, right? Because you're not, he's not sensing that he's giving. And the new thing in this last MS that he's telling us is that you only want it, even given, once you've risen. Level, Yitin. Rise, Yitin again, Yaakov Yitin. Etc. And that's what he called, that's in 2 weeks' time. Vayetze, no, 3 weeks' time. This is next week is Vayetze, Vayishlach, Vayeshev. Right? That was, Yaakov thought, it says Vayeshev Yaakov, Eretz Megurei Avi, Eretz Canaan. So Rashi says over there, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Vashalva. He thought he'd reached it. He thought, but he called, this is it, you know, now I've reached a plateau. So Kosh Baruch says, Lo Daim Tzadikim. It's not enough for them that they're what do you call it? They have all of Abba. There are no plateaus here in Olam Hazeh. There are no plateaus. And therefore, we have to go through a new round of Avoda. Which Avoda is that? The problem with Yosef. Right? Yosef being hated by his brothers, sold into slavery. All that entire parsha, those parshas after his Vayeshev, Miketz, yeah, Vayigash. All that begins because Yaakov thought for a moment, okay, I've reached my plateau here, right? Now I can live life, growth of course, it's not like he's sitting there with his mint julep, you know, with his feet up in the hammock. He says he wants to grow, but I don't need adversity anymore. Who says? Miad kafas al rogzel shel Yosef. But the principle is over here. First of all, the Yaakov, when he sees Olam Hazeh, it's always Bederach Matana, the Yitain, it's given to him, and not that you have, it's always, the sensation is that we always want to feel that we're receiving it as a gift. That's the first important thing. And the second thing is that I only even want it to be given after I've risen to a new level. And that's Yitain, the Yachzor of Yitain. Give and then give again. Good job.